Week, News for All the People, the epic story of race in the American media. It's co-authored with Joe Torres. He'll be at Cooper Union this Thursday, October 20th. I'll be with them doing an onstage interview with them at 7 p.m. Thursday night. Then Friday, October 21st, they'll be at San Francisco State at 2, then at the First Congregational Church in Oakland at 7 p.m. Then they're on to Santa Cruz at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning at Capitola Books. It's Fresno at noon, Los Angeles in the evening, Santa Barbara on Sunday. And then they'll be traveling through the week to San Antonio, to Denver, to Albuquerque, to Santa Fe, New Mexico, to Houston, as well as to Washington, D.C. You can check our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB Concert Billboard for Tuesday, October 18th. The Blue Note in Manhattan will be featuring the Dizzy Gillespie alumni, including Roy Hargrove, Cyrus Chestnut, Lewis Nash, John Lee, and Jimmy Heath. They'll have two shows a night at 8 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. throughout the week. The CMJ Music Festival will be going on all over New York City with over 300 bands. And here are some of the showcases that are going on. In Webster Hall, in the studio at Webster Hall, Death Set, Black Taxi, The Tweez, Night Fever, The Rassle, Click Clack Boom, and Wild International. That starts at 6 p.m. At the Glasslands Gallery in Brooklyn, Chelsea Wolf, Cuckoo Chaos, Delicate Steve, Mr. Dream, and Titus Andronicus. And that'll start at 9 p.m. And at the Living Room in Manhattan, the Chapin Sisters, Rebecca Loeb, Ty Burnett, Dead Heart Bloom, and Careful. Your concert billboard for Wednesday, October 19th. The Wombats with the Pastels and the Good Natured will be at Webster Hall in Manhattan starting at 7 p.m. Cyndi Lauper and Dr. John will be at the NYCB Theater at Westbury at 8 p.m. Trash Talk, Teen Girl Fantasy, Little Red, and Tan Lines will be at the Glasslands in Brooklyn at 9 p.m. Boy and Bear, We Are Augustines, Moto Pony, and A Silent Comedy will be at Bowery Ballroom in Manhattan, 6:15 p.m. Doomtree, Hi-Fi Phantom, Audacity, and the Barrericudas will be at the Knitting Factory in Manhattan starting at 8 p.m. And My Cousin the Emperor, Ursa Minor, Shenandoah and the Night, and Sydney Wazer will be at the Living Room in Manhattan at 7 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 2 minutes after 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night. Time for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. And the very good and fair by the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined with Kyle.
Hi there.
Joined by Kyle, actually. Yes, it's another Tuesday night. And tonight, basically, our happiness is measured by the appearance of a little red blinking light. Yeah, it's true. That's how things work very often in our society these days. Little tiny lights dictate how we feel. But in this particular case, there's a human on the other end of that. And what we are doing tonight, we're into our fall fundraiser here on WUSB. And when you dial a certain number and make that ring, a little red light lights up here and we become happy. It's as simple as that. But more importantly, you become happy as well, because a station like WUSB remains on the air and we all become stronger. We all continue to talk about the things that matter to us, unimpeded by the mass media, unimpeded by the big corporations out there and all sorts of other influences that keep the other radio stations from talking about things. We've been talking about the Occupy Wall Street phenomenon for quite some time now. We've been talking about all kinds of things in the hacker world and various other technological things. And we've been doing that on this particular radio show since 2003, but there have been so many other radio shows on this station over the years and ones in the future that we can't even dream what they're going to be about. But that's the magic of radio. Now, what we are doing tonight, and I just want to open it up quickly for people that that are so supportive of us that they don't need to hear the hard sell. They don't need to hear all the evidence that we're going to present as to why this place is worth supporting. For those of you, we're just going to tell you straight off the bat that we have two basic packages here that we're offering tonight. And in fact, they are the same packages that we offered last week on Off the Hook, the other radio show on the other radio station. But we're actually going to add something to this one. We're actually going to add something to our special WUSB listeners. There aren't as many USB listeners as there are BAI listeners. We know that. Our signal doesn't get out nearly as much as their very powerful Empire State Building signal. But that's kind of why we think of you more as, I guess, a smaller family. We think of BAI people as a family, too, but it's a really small family. And that's why every single bit that you pledge matters so much. For instance, our goal last week was, I think, something like $2,000 for an hour. Or was it? I think it was even more. It might have been $2,500. And here, if we get $100, that's considered great. It's people jump up and down. But I think we're every bit as good here as the programs on that other radio station, certainly as programs on NPR and other places like that. And that's why I hope people call in with just as much gusto and enthusiasm as they would for one of those other stations. So, what we're offering? We're offering two pledge levels of $75 and $125. Now, for the $75 pledge, what we are giving you, in addition to the radio station, in addition to the radio show and all the other things that go with it, we are giving you a 20-plus DVD set of every single keynote speaker that we have featured at our Hackers on Planet Earth conferences. They're known as HOPE conferences. H-O-P-E stands for Hackers on Planet Earth. And we've had a keynote address at every single one of them. And we've also had some featured speakers. And they include people like Steve Wozniak, Kevin Mitnick, Jello Biafra, Richard Stallman, Aaron Magruder. The list goes on and on. There are many, many people in there. We're going to play an excerpt or two from some of them, from some of the highlights. But that is a pledge that you get for $75. 20-plus DVDs of some of the really most insightful talks I think we've ever presented at these conferences. Now, for a pledge of $125, we've never done this before on this radio station. It's kind of unusual. We're going to offer what we offered last week on Off the Hook, which is that package of 20-plus DVDs, all the HOPE speakers, and a full archive of that other radio show, Off the Hook. Yeah. I know, it's kind of surprising that we're offering a different radio show from a different radio station on this radio show, but we're going to do it. From 1988 to 2010, you'll get every single episode of Off the Hook that has aired on WBAI in full broadcast quality on, again, more than 20 DVDs. So for a pledge of $125, you'll get 40 DVDs of all kinds of material. The phone number is 631-632-9872. 631-632-9872. 9872, by the way, spells WUSB. I'm not done. There's more. Yeah, we're adding something. We're adding something to this just to make it extra special for our small little family here. Kyle, what's that you got in front of you?
The Hacker Calendar.
The Hacker Calendar. This is, we've talked about this before. And as the year draws to an end and 2012 is leaping at our throats, people start to think about getting a calendar for next year. Well, folks, this is the calendar for next year. This is the ultimate calendar for next year. Now, Kyle here has half of the photographs that have been taken in this particular collection. Half of them are yours.
Yes.
And half of them are Dave Buchwald's, who's our cover artist for 2600 Magazine. And that, I think, would be enough right there. Just these photos. These photos are incredible. They're all having to do with phone company subjects of one sort or another. The cover is your photo. It's a Bell System emergency alarm. It's like a fire alarm, but it's a Bell System fire alarm. In other words, you only pull this fire alarm if there's a fire inside a Bell facility, and not anywhere else. They have their own fire alarms. They have their own light bulbs. They have their own everything. Basically, there are pictures here of old switching systems, of phone company buildings, telephones themselves, all sorts of things. But they're all done really artistically, and they just make you want to look at them for a long period of time. I'm looking at this this photo now for October 2012, which is a picture of the AT&T Long Lines building in New York City on Thomas Street. If you ever want to live in the movie Brazil or something like that, this is the kind of building they would have, right? It's the kind of building that Orwell would have written a book about. And it's right there. It exists right now. And this picture is featured next October 2012. But also, in addition to the pictures, every single date has something that happened. Just about every single date has something historical that happened. Yeah. Okay, let's look at today, for instance. October 18th. What happened on October 18th that would interest technological enthusiasts everywhere? Let's see. Oh, look at this. Two things. Two things happened. On October 18th, 1892, the first long-distance telephone line between Chicago and New York opened. Yeah. Did you know that? The first long-distance telephone line between Chicago and New York opened. What was that? That was 109 years ago today. Oh, but that's not all. In 1954, Texas Instruments announces the world's first transistor radio.
That's cool.
Two things on one day. And some days have more than that. It's incredible what kind of history there is. Everything that is listed here is of interest to hackers in one way or another, of interest to people who have even a casual knowledge of technology and what's going on around them. It's a fascinating collection. And you'll get that with every pledge, $25 and above today. You'll get an autographed copy, autographed by Kyle, Dave, and myself. And that's with a pledge to 631-632-9872. So for $75, you'll get all of the Hope speakers. You'll get the Hope keynote speakers, and you'll get this autographed calendar. For a pledge of $125, you'll get the Hope speakers, you'll get the Off the Hook archive, and you'll get the autographed calendar. That's a pretty good deal. But we need to see those phones start ringing. I don't see them ringing. You see, this is what I mean by a small family. BAI, the phones are lighting up off the hook, and no pun intended, basically we'd have a good handful of calls by now, because this is a good deal. This is even a better deal than what we offer there. So I know a lot of people are listening online. We even tweeted about this beforehand and put up a story on our main website so that people around the world would know this is the time to give a call. 631-632-9872. Now, I think we can get at least one phone call before we go to a feature. We do want to play a feature from the Hope Conference. Kyle, is there anything you can say to get that call to come in?
Well, I'm ready to go. If need be, if we get so many callers, I will hop up immediately and take down your pledge. It's really important to keep the radio station going, and we think that these are some pretty amazing gifts. I had a hand in helping out with the calendar, obviously, and the radio show has impacted me quite a bit. And There's several different...
Tell us how the radio show has impacted you, or the radio station has impacted you. And again, let me give out the phone number in case you didn't hear it. 631-632-9872.
Well, obviously, I've had the opportunity to get on live radio, and I was at first not very keen on it. I didn't think that I'd really be that good at, I don't know, having presence or just having something to say. Mm-hmm. And but I don't know, you've helped me and given me the opportunity to be on the air and get comfortable with my voice and that kind of stuff. And I think that's really important for students as well. And that's what community radio is about. And
Well, that's what it was about when I first walked in here back in the 1970s. It was an incredible place to have in the college that I was going to. Just walked in and was introduced to the world of radio. And from that, I was able to experiment, listen to all kinds of music, share that with the audience, do different kinds of radio shows, variety programs, talk programs, public affairs, arts, you name it. The door was wide open here to all kinds of experimentation. We've done things like have the alternative presidential convention held here. We've had radio plays. We've had all kinds of a variety. And I really don't think there are many places like this that are left. I keep hearing about radio stations, community radio stations, college radio stations that are being sold, that are being given up because, well, universities or organizations can't afford them anymore. And there are so many entities out there, all incredibly willing to just pay almost any price to get something so valuable as a broadcast station. So whether it's NPR, whether it's some religious organization, there are lots of nonprofit organizations out there that would take a frequency like this in a heartbeat. And it would be our heart that would be stopping, though, because this is something that has existed since 1977 and is so incredibly unique. Thanks for that call. 631-632-9872. When I first went on the air at this radio station, it was a precious thing then, too. Of course, economically, we were a lot better off. I'm talking as a country. We didn't need to ask for money on the air. We were able to survive. Things were very different back then. They really were. Oh, I'm sorry, it was miles away. Things have changed. But, you know, we've survived. We've survived and we'll continue to survive. And thanks for that second call. We have two volunteers, so I think we're okay. I'm going to close that door, though, in case it turns into a combative conversation and obscenities are hurled. But I don't think that doesn't happen. No, I'm sorry. But if a third call comes in, Kyle, I will ask you to leave. I don't know where you're going to go, though. Because
I think I know where to go, but it's very dark in there right now.
We'll turn on a light. Did we lose our light bulbs,
coordinate
too?
Coordinate a light. I don't think it has... Okay. Yes.
We complain a lot about things that are breaking, but you notice that we always manage to broadcast somehow. We always manage to get a voice out there and talk about what's going on. Never has it been more important than now to have that voice. We're talking about things like Occupy Wall Street, where people are out there trying to be heard, and it was so hard to be heard for them. Nobody was paying attention. The media just turned their backs until they raised their voice a little bit, until places like USB and BAI went on the air and said, look, guys, this is what's happening, and the third phone call is ringing, Kyle, so please get out of here and answer that. A little faster. Yes. Okay. I want to see some hustle here. Okay. There you go. And I don't know what's going to happen if the fourth call comes in. But thank you so much, people, for calling in. And if you do get a ring that doesn't stop, please call back. 631-632-9872. When the voices started to get raised, when people realized, hey, something is going on, all of a sudden the movement started to gain traction. And people started to really feel empowered. And it's that feeling of empowerment that is an incredible thing. When you have that, when you have the idea that what you're saying actually matters, there is no better feeling than that. And I see we have more phone calls now than we have volunteers. Two phones are ringing that are not being picked up. And I apologize to people. Please keep those phones ringing. We're trying to scramble all around the studio and find working phones. Okay. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. The magic of radio. Hang on, come in here. I see the phones are ringing, Kyle, and you're not picking them up. Why is this?
Well, there's one other phone, and it's not working. I fiddled with the jack. I'm trying to
You're
get
kidding
it
me. We don't have
I'm really
enough.
Trying to coordinate
okay, hold
it.
Hold on. I can't believe I have to do this. Hold on. Hi, WUSB. Would you mind holding for just a moment? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, now I've just interrupted my program, and I'm going to do it again. Hello, W... Okay, that's a busy signal that called us somehow. I don't know how that happened. All right, the call there that is on hold needs to be picked up. And I'm going to pick up this one now. Hello, WUSB. Could you please hold for a moment? Thank you so much. All right, you know, I should not have to do this on the radio, answer phones like that. We don't have more than two working phones in the whole damn studio.
I'll go check.
I'm sorry for cussing, folks, but sometimes it gets a little frustrating. Okay, so, Finn, you see me in there. Well, no, he doesn't. He's on the phone. But he knows to pick up that phone that's on hold. And those of you calling in, thank you so much for calling in. Please just indulge us a little bit while we take the other calls. Oh boy! All right. So I guess it means something to people out there to know that their voices matter. I know it does for the people on Wall Street. I know it does for the people on this radio station, on the other radio station. And there are so many instances where we've had good conversations with people who listen to us, who have called in and said something that's on their mind. That magic has not gone away since the first time I came into this place in the 1970s and first messed around with radio for the very first time. That magic is still here. And no matter what kind of technological advances we've had, no matter what kinds of changes and digitization of society, you can always come back to the fact that anybody can simply tune to 90.1 and find something really cool and say, yeah, I like that. This is a piece of music that I've never heard before. This is something that is unique to me, and I've learned something from this. That magic has never gone away. Now, Kyle, you're back. What's going on?
I think I fixed the third phone.
Okay, so why are you in here telling us that? Why don't you talk on the phone then? Thank you, Kyle. All right. We're trying, folks. We're trying very hard. 631-632-9872. We have three calls on the line right now. What I'm going to do, okay, here's what I'm going to do. We'll talk a little bit more later. Let's go to Steve Wozniak. All right. He's going to tell you a story about what it's like to be a hacker. You know, the kind of story that you can hear from all sorts of people. But this guy is Steve Wozniak. You know, he's one of the founders of Apple. And you'll hear some of the things about how he and Steve Jobs got the company started, and just the attitude. I think what you'll find from this is that we all share a common spirit as far as challenging the system and trying new things and holding on to our individuality and being able to express ourselves. All of that is what WUSB is about. And if that means something to you, please call in. Again, we're sorry for any delays in answering the phone. I'm gonna be able to pick up the phone myself while this is playing. So you might even get me if you dial 631-632-9872. Again, the pledge levels for a pledge of $75, you'll get all of the keynote addresses, including the one we're about to hear now, and you'll get them in full video. Yes, you're not just going to get the audio; you're going to get the video as well, which matters quite a bit when you want to see what somebody is talking about. You'll get 20 of those, 20 DVDs, more than 20 DVDs, actually. You'll get every single keynote address that we had, plus a bunch of featured speakers. I'm going to read you the list. Hope 1994, Robert Steele, ex-CIA man Robert Steele, gave our keynote address. And it's just as relevant now as it was then, back in 1994. At Beyond Hope in 1997, it was MSNBC correspondent Brock Meeks. Haven't heard from him in a while. I wonder what he's up to. H2K, it was Jello Biafra giving our keynote address. And that surprised a lot of people, having Jello Biafra there. Wow, did he ever give a good talk? And considering he's somebody who doesn't even have a computer, or didn't at the time, he was able to keep people's attention and be right on target. So you'll get those talks. In addition, in 2002, we had Aaron Magruder. Yeah, Aaron Magruder, artist and social critic. It's incredible. And Siva, this is the name I dread pronouncing. Siva Vaidhyanathan. Yeah, a great scholar on issues of copyright, I believe affiliated with NYU. He gave an amazing talk as well. That was at H2K2. Kevin Mitnick was at the Fifth Hope. Steve Wozniak, Jello Biafra once again. Hope number six, we had free software founder Richard Stallman. We had ebooks. Founder Michael Hart, and again Jello Biafra. At The Last Hope in 2008, we had Stephen Levy. He wrote the book Hackers. It has nothing to do with the film. We had Jello Biafra. We had Kevin Mitnick. We had Stephen Rombaum, who is the privacy advocate, who will tell you all kinds of interesting things. A private eye as well. He'll tell you how he's able to find out things about you. Great talk there. And we had Adam Savage from the Mythbusters. Yeah, Adam Savage. What a great talk he gave. In fact, he said at the beginning of his talk that he was in awe being in a room with these people, and he was probably the least qualified person there, which I found to be incredibly nice of him, but also probably incredibly inaccurate. This guy is the epitome of what hacking is all about. And then at the Next Hope in 2010, we had security expert Dan Kaminsky and WikiLeaks spokesperson Jacob Applebaum. So we have such an incredible variety of speakers here that we're giving away tonight for a pledge of $75. These are all videos of these various talks at Hackers on Planet Earth conferences throughout the years. They're yours for a pledge of $75. In addition, you get the autographed hacker calendar, pictures by Kyle, and all kinds of dates of various things that happened. Look up your birthday. See what got hacked on your birthday. See what historical thing happened in the world of technology. It goes back centuries. The world of hacking, and you'll find out how that is. 2012, every single day will be something fascinating and interesting. 631-632-9872 for a pledge of $125. You get all of that. You get the 20-plus DVDs of Hope Talks. You get the Hacker Calendar, plus you get a full archive of Off the Hook, the other radio show. And if you've never listened to that radio show, that's the one that airs in New York City. It's about hacking specifically, and we've had all kinds of amazing guests and dramatic things unfold over the years. That's for a pledge of $125. The number to call, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. If you're outside the country code is 1, but you probably know that. I mean, how would you not know that the United States grab number 1 somehow? And Canada, they both grab number 1. Plus 1-631-632-9872. Let's listen to Steve Wozniak. This talk took place back in 2004 at the Fifth Hope in New York City. Oops. And it sounds a lot like our theme, doesn't it? No, that's I'm sorry, I played the wrong thing. It happens sometimes.
I went down there and felt that the Commuter Club is information, is something you've learned, is should be made available to the world. People can learn from what you and extend it and do other things. It's different than making products. So, of course, I would pass out schematics to almost everyone in the Computer Club, schematics of the Apple One, the listings of the code that was in it. I would pass them out. They were given away freely to try to share because it was a sharing environment. How many big companies like Apple ever started out by giving away their stuff for free? So it's kind of unusual. Nowadays, you go to a company, everything has to be secret, not talked about, not exposed, even if it doesn't matter if somebody knew what you were doing. So the Apple One, Steve Jobs, that was another one. He said, well, let's sell it. Let's sell a PC board. Make a PC board for $20, sell it for $40. We'll have to put a few hundred bucks each in. I didn't think we'd get our money back. And he said, we'll have a company for once in our lives. It was almost like you're not doing it for seriousness. You can justify doing it just to say you're doing it, just like a lot of the hacking pranks you do. It doesn't have to pay back with success and money and all that. So we'll make these PC boards, and I said, well, if I design it, I'm ethical. It belongs to Hewlett-Packard. So I went to Hewlett-Packard, and we had big meetings, and I tried to convince them I wanted Hewlett-Packard to do it. I loved that company. I was never going to leave that company in my life. And they turned me down, actually, believe it or not, 3 times. And so Steve and I started, and we built the Apple One, and we started getting a little bit of fame in this hobby computer world that was to come. Not exactly hacking stories, but we had this neat little fun device, and as I wrote a BASIC of my own, I mean, I just did everything myself, because whatever it took to get a complete computer finished, I had to do it. Didn't matter that I'd never read a book on it or taken a class on it. Had to do it. Had to force yourself to find the better ways. And you know what? When you don't know how to do something, and you go at it yourself and you're smart enough, you'll come up with better solutions than the ways companies are doing it today. Almost always. The two things that helped me the most was not ever having done most of the things I did that turned out great, not having done them before and knowing the ways they're done normally, and also not having enough funds to just buy my way out of it. So this Apple One, I was at work one day, I got a phone call from Steve Jobs, and he said, are you sitting down? And I said, no, and he said, well, I got an order for $50,000, and that was the biggest financial shock in Apple's history, and I was floored. The one computer store in our area and they wanted to buy 100 computers for $500 each. And we so, man, this was big time. So I had Hewlett-Packard's legal department go to all the divisions to make sure I was in the clear, because I wasn't leaving Hewlett-Packard. And we built the Apple One and as a real computer. And we had to price it. You're going to sell it to the store for $500 wholesale. What do you price it? We figured add a third, that makes it $667. Well, I was into repeating digits on phone numbers and things, so I 666 came to mind. And neither Steve or I knew that 666 had biblical references until later. It's really funny to go to these websites that tell how satanic Apple is. So, anyway, I was still working at Hewlett-Packard. We're getting real famous in our little community of computer hobbyists around the world and the country mainly with this Apple name. We're first in alphabetic order in all the comparison charts. And had some super, super, super things, very few chips for what you got. And it was the first the first small computer to say small computers will come with a human keyboard. That was a huge, huge step, even though the Apple II was going to take 10 first ever steps that we'd never back off from. That one step of using the keyboard was probably more important. The Apple II I designed extremely quickly, lucked into the best designs of my life, condensing many chips into one, clever different approaches, using chips for things they weren't even designed for because it got the chip count down. And this Apple II just turned out so good. The first time ever was going to have color. Where does color come from? You know what? It's one of those things where you have to try the impossible. I was not an analog engineer that I could look at all the formulas and the calculus for the chroma signals that, and how they got added and the phase changes and the circuits that do that. I didn't know that stuff. But somehow an idea floated in my head from what I could do, where my experience base was. Spin a little code around, a 4-bit code, 1011 maybe, 1010, whatever. Spin it around in a register at the right speed, and what comes out the end? Is a bunch of bits of ones and O's that are colored, look like colored TV from what I learned in high school. They look like colored TV signals. And some of them are spaced differently in time, and there are four different colors of them. Some of them are all highs, and that's a white. And some of them are all zeros, and that's a black. And I wonder if this would show up as color. You know, and sometimes you got to take a risk not even knowing if it'll work. And I finally built this thing in the first day, turned on a TV set, and there was color. Oh my God, this is just, it was unbelievable to Steve and I. It was only a few months after we were introduced to the Apple One. So just amazing lot of designs in a very short amount of time. You can do that when you're one person crossing a lot of disciplines. I could come up with the ideas of what I wanted to do. I could sketch it out on paper. I could build the chips. I could solder them. I could write the code for it. I could test it. I could debug it. I could add features. I could get ideas, change the code, and change the hardware to match each other. When you cover all these disciplines yourself, you really aren't hung up by anyone else and having to wait and schedule things. And you can go about 10 times as fast on a lot of projects, you know, at least twice as fast on any project. I was very lucky. Now, we didn't have the, all of a sudden, this was the third computer to have a keyboard. In between us and them was one from Prosser Technology, and we knew that we could sell 1,000 a month because the processor technology Sol was selling 1,000 a month. But how do you build 1,000 computers that cost $250 each? You need $250,000. We didn't have any money. I didn't own a car, a house. We didn't have, you know, $10,000. We didn't have anything. So how do you do that? So we started looking for money. And we went to one company, Commodore, and they said, well, they liked our computer, but they're going to build their own. They don't need all these fancy features. They thought theirs was going to be cheaper to build than my clever design with all the color and sound and paddles and dynamic RAM and slots and high-res and all that stuff. Their head of engineering, Andre Soussan, left Commodore and came to Apple saying he thought we had the right product, not them, not they. So sometimes you have to sit down and do something for with a quality level in your head that makes sense, or it doesn't. We tried to sell our product to Commodore. We tried to sell it to Atari. We tried to sell it to VCs. VCs didn't like speaking non-business language like I would. They would say, what's the market size? And I would say 1 million computers. And they'd say, how do you know? I'd say, well, it's bigger than ham radio, and there's 1 million ham radio operators. You know, sometimes people can't listen to the simple truths. Eventually, though, we met Mike Markla. He was about 32. He'd made $1.5 million at Intel. He'd been an engineer, gone into marketing. Very well respected. he had a home in the Cupertino Hills and a nice daughter, and he got interested in what we were doing and believed in it. And he talked with Steve Jobs a lot and came up with formulations of how it was going to change people's lives, how they were going to use computers in their own homes and what it was going to bring them. And so he joined us as a third and equal partner and really gave us a lot of input that we needed. But you never hear about him because he didn't come from like nothing to starting Apple. Somehow he's always left out of the picture. A lot of important people are. When we introduced the Apple II computer at the West Coast Computer Fair, well, first of all, Mike Marklet told me, you got to leave Hewlett-Packard. And I said, why? In 1 year, I've designed two computers, cassette tape interfaces, graphics, sound, dynamic RAMs, keyboards, all this software testing. I wrote a BASIC. I did all that in 1 year, and I worked at Hewlett-Packard. Why can't I keep working at Hewlett-Packard for safety, security, for life? And we'll start Apple. No, you got to start Apple. And I went deep inside myself. And I realized I love designing computers, you know, and hooking wires up. And I love writing software and typing it in and getting it to work. And that's my life. And I love Hewlett-Packard for life. So I went to an ultimatum meeting with Mike and Steve. And I said, no, not going to start this company, Apple. Not going to take your money. That's just not what I want to do in life. I can design computers on my own. You know, just for life. So that's my pastime. Steve went into a frenzy, got my relatives and friends to start calling me. And finally, my friend Alan Baum called me and he said, you could be an engineer and become a manager and get wealthy, get rich. Or you could be an engineer and just stay in engineering and get rich. And it was when he said that I could be an engineer for life, that instant my head flipped over and said, yeah, we're going to start Apple. As long as I got one other person saying, you don't have to run a company, because just didn't... can't, you know, do all those horrible political things and stepping on people's toes and standing up for things that aren't really justified by technology and design and mathematics formulas and all that. So we started Apple, and it was very lucky. When we introduced it, I did a little prank. There was a computer called the Altair, and there was a new microprocessor called the Z80, and a lot of Z words sort of implied we've got the Z80 chip. So I made up a brochure for a new computer called, not the Altair, but the Zaltair. Did this brochure, it was two sides of a colored piece of paper. So carefully, it would say Psycholac is a trademark of BorgWarner, and other trademark attributions were in there, and correct addresses of company. And then I said, we got to make this corny. And I did it with a friend over the phone in Los Angeles, because I didn't want to get traced to these 20,000 brochures I was going to make. I mean... I didn't realize until then that that's how many get distributed at these shows. So I wanted it to look corny. So I opened up Byte Magazine and found the corniest ads I could. Sphere had an ad. Imagine this, imagine that, imagine this other thing. So I had mine saying, imagine a banjo with six strings. Imagine a car with five wheels. This was like, should have been a clue to any smart person that this whole thing was kind of phony. And then I said, I use the Z words. It's the Zaltair computer, and it runs BASIC, and it has personality as some software thing, and went through all this. And instead of the S100 bus for cards to plug into, it had the Z100, 150, which we called the S100 with 50 extra slots. so hokey. And then I had a little comparison chart that had normalized numbers. The new Altair computer was 1.0 in every category because it was supposedly from that company, which was, what was the company that made the Altair? MITS. It was supposedly from MITS. And the next category was their other lousy, lousy, lousy computer, the MITS 680, and it kind of got sort of close to 1.0 numbers. And then all the other computers, the Prosser Technology Sol, the Apple, and a few others, had horrible numbers out in the eights and nines. Like, it was so phony a chart. And I was to laugh my head off the day that Steve Jobs was looking at it and said, hey, we didn't do too bad. Because he didn't know I was doing any of this.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Were you riveted by that? Were you listening? Yes, you were. Okay, I know there are people out there that are just listening to Steve Wozniak giving this address back in 2004 at one of our conferences. We're going to get back to it. We will get back to it, so you can stop cussing and hitting the steering wheel if you're driving. Wow, that was something just to hear Steve and the enthusiasm and what it was like in the early days. And to know that there are so many other people out there right now designing things, building things of the future that will be giving talks like this 10, 20 years from now and telling us all the cool things that they were up to. And I'll bet WUSB or an equivalent non-commercial radio station will be inspirational to lots and lots of creative people out there. It has been in the past, certainly. We don't do anything. Everything that we are doing with 2600 and Help Conferences came from this place originally. That's where I learned how to be creative and how to do all sorts of different things.
Just like we were talking about earlier, I was also going to mention the impact that your shows have had on me and just listening to the radio. I listen to the radio a lot. I really like it for various projects and things that I'm doing, as many people have said about, you know, the radio and its impact mm-hmm. on their life. So, but also
big time,
when
yes.
I was a young person in college, the college radio station got taken over some NPR, you know, affiliate, and you know,
that sound of disgust is not for NPR. I like NPR. When I was driving through the middle of the country, hearing NPR was like a godsend. But my sound of disgust is for all the community stations, all the college stations that have basically been taken over by National Public Radio and turned into clones with the same programming. Good programming for the most part, but you lose an independent voice. You lose a local voice. You lose the opportunity for kids to get involved with radio and learn and do something different. Every time someone takes over a frequency, that happens. And it's been happening a lot lately.
Yeah, and I had just been learning about community radio and just given the chance to learn about audio production and those important things that go along with it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crucial that people call in and pledge.
631-632-9872 is the phone number. You've been listening to Steve Wozniak. We're going to be getting back to Steve Wozniak in just a little bit. But we need to get those phones ringing. 631-632-9872 for a pledge of $75. You'll get that talk on video plus, I believe, 17 others. You'll get over 20 DVDs filled with Hope keynote speakers and featured speakers as well. 631-632-9872. That's for a pledge of $75. In addition, for that same pledge, you'll get an autographed hacker calendar made by Kyle, myself, and Dave, who took the other half of the pictures, complete with dates of things that have happened throughout the world, throughout the hacker generation, I guess.
Recent history, just in the past year, mm-hmm. events
that have become notable. There are things from 2011 somehow that made it onto this calendar. I don't
Absolutely.
Know how that happened. But there are also things from the 1600s.
Yeah.
It all ties together, like when the difference engine was first created, things like that. 631-632-9872. I want to thank people who have called in so far. We've raised nearly $600 so far in 40 minutes, which is great. For this place, that is incredible. And it's significant. It's going to go a long way. I want to thank Matt from Seattle. I want to thank Paul from Columbus. You know, Finn, there are Columbuses everywhere. Which Columbus is this? Ohio? Is that the one? Okay, thank you. Carrie from Miller Place. David from Corum. Dan from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, no, it looks like it says Tulsa, Ohio. Well, it says O-H, all right? It's Oklahoma, right? All right, good. And Mike from, is that Brookhaven? Okay, great. Thank you so much, those people who have called in so far. But there are still people out there. 631-632-9872. Remember, for a pledge of $125, you'll get all the Hope Talks, you'll get the Hacker Calendar, and you'll get more than 20 years of the archive of Off the Hook in full FM quality sound. You'll get more than 20 DVDs of that with audio on them. 631-632-9872. Now, we were talking during the break about various challenges here at the radio station. And this is something that I don't know if we've ever actually mentioned this on the radio. We complain a lot about the studio falling apart and the equipment and things like that. But there is a development on the horizon that is coming up. And you're going to play a big part in this, listeners, people who follow WUSB. The building that we are in right now, This is going to sound worse than it is, so don't panic. But the building the building that we are currently in right now is scheduled to be destroyed in 2 years. You know, that did sound really bad and ominous, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, this building will be reduced to rubble. Is that any better? No, it's basically, there'll be...
It's a plan.
Dynamite will be lit? Yeah, they'll have to use explosives, won't they? This room will become nothing but... Well, no, okay. There must be a better way to say it. We're moving. How about that? We're moving to a bigger and better location. Well, actually, we hope we're moving to a bigger and better location. It's going to involve all kinds of coordination. It's going to involve a lot of listener support, obviously, and getting the word out. But when we actually get to a bigger and better location, we'll have... equipment that works. We'll have much more room to move around, do production. We'll have a better sound overall. And that's it's a milestone in our history. It's like a second start as we move from this place where we've been since the beginning, since before the beginning, because the station started in 1977, but the station existed before then as a carrier current, an AM station. And somehow, all credit to the folks behind it back then, they were able to convince record companies to send us records, even though we were only reaching dormitories through closed circuit radio. This place was treated like a professional radio station from before day one of the FM. So that's incredible. That's the kind of spirit that goes into this place. And that's why we hope that you invest in it to keep us going well into the 21st century, into a new home, and have all kinds of cool things in our future. 631-632-9872. Let's see some phone calls come in, because we need to know that the support is out there. We need to know listeners care. And we'll be following us to this new place when we make it out of this place. And hopefully we'll make it out of this place. You know, if we don't have listeners, we don't have support, then they might just leave us in here when the building implodes. And that would be unfortunate for a lot of reasons. Because there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of people, a lot of cool things that that radio gives you. And yeah, we were talking about stations being taken over by NPR. That has happened. You've probably read about it. In fact, we can bring in more articles about this. It'll be kind of depressing. But it seems every week I hear about another community radio station or college radio station that the powers that be say, well, we just can't afford this anymore. We don't want to have this. It's a liability for us. We're just going to sell it to the highest bidder. And that's what happens. It even happened here in Long Island. It's happened here on Long Island a couple of times. CW Post used to have a college radio station that students were able to take advantage of. Well, that station basically was shut down and turned over to NPR. Southampton University, they don't exist anymore. Stony Brook came in and bought the university. Unfortunately, they didn't buy the radio station. The radio station used to be a student-run radio station. Used to be all kinds of students on the air. Now it's pretty much NPR all the time. Thing is, you know, with these NPR stations, there's so much repetition. There's so much repetition. You might have read all kinds of stories about how they were trying to save the Southampton radio station and make sure that it remained Long Island's only NPR station, which is nonsense, because you can get NPR on something like 8 different frequencies in that region alone. And there is no there's plenty of Long Island coverage on the Connecticut stations that cover the area as well. So it was really a bit of a misnomer to phrase it in quite that way. Basically, people spent a lot of money to ensure that a radio station broadcasts the exact same thing as 7 other radio stations that you could get at the same time. But I guarantee you, there's only one WUSB. You can only get us on one frequency. And if that frequency goes away, there is no replacement. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Again, for $75, Steve Wozniak plus 17 other talks. On DVD video, the hacker calendar, autographed with all kinds of pictures and hacker dates. A pleasure. $125, you get all that, the hacker calendar, the videos, plus more than 20 years of Off the Hook Radio, the other radio show, talking about hacking and technology and having all kinds of guests. 631-632-9872. Kyle, I think you can get this call to come in, can't you? No, it hasn't come in yet. Kyle's getting ready to run out the door. No, we have people to answer the phone, but I want you to get the phone to ring.
Well, I don't know. I can just reiterate what I've said already, that community radio is really important. It's had a huge impact on my life, and I am excited to hear about this move. And I don't know that it. You know, we'll have to bring all the things that work really well, and then get some new energy into the new station. That's exciting, and that can be really, really cool if people are into it and want to make it happen. So please call in and support this pledge drive. We're doing really well, and we have really exciting packages to offer you. So
yeah, almost $600 come in just a few minutes. That was with broken phones, and we fixed the phones now. Kyle,
yes.
You fixed the phone. In
I the fixed.
Other room.
I fixed the phone with the pen cap.
You stuck a pen cap into
in the back, yeah. Because the modular jack was broken and so it was loose and you couldn't get a good connection. So now it's in place firmly, and I will leap up and run out the door.
He will.
As soon as that red light blinks.
631-632-9872. You want to see that happen? Give us a call right now. Again, pledge of $75. You won't find a better deal anywhere. All these hacker videos of keynote speakers ranging from Jello Biafra to Aaron Magruder to Kevin Mitnick to Richard Stallman to Adam Savage to Stephen Levy to Steve Wozniak. Let's go back to Steve for a few minutes, and hopefully those phones will light up. If the phones don't light up, I'm going to have to come in again and hound you. I hate to do that, but it's vital. We have to get to $1,000 this hour. Yes, I said it. We're halfway there. We have 10 minutes to make it the rest of the way. 631-632-9872. Please, please join the people calling in. 631-632-9872. Pledge whatever you can afford. Get the hacker calendar. Get the Hope videos. Get the Off the Hook archive. Get whatever it is that you feel like getting. But most importantly, invest in the radio station. Keep WUSB strong. Keep WUSB surviving, and help prepare us for this next chapter in our existence coming up in just a couple of years. 631-632-9872. Here's Steve.
And but then I came up, I had to come up with something a little bit, you know, extreme. So I had a little deal on it where you could send in your crappy old Altair computer or your Altair 680, you could send them into the factory and you would get a discount on this new one, a real good discount. So I was thinking, oh, these things will pile up on their dock from people sending them in. And remember, it's better if it looks like someone else did it. So at the very top, I wish I had it here, the little brochure, at the very top of the page, I had in italics a quote by the president of MITS. And the quote was something so dumb, predictable refinement of computer equipment. But if you took the first letter of each word, it spelled processor technology. And I figured, you know, all these little computer people, they're going to find that. Nobody went to the Homebrew Computer Club the next day after we distributed a ton of these. And even though they were being confiscated by the reps, I had ways to get them out. People were holding them up in the air and saying it was a hoax. And they found out from the rep it was a hoax. And nobody spotted that processor technology was in there. So finally, Gordon French, whose garage the Homebrew Computer Club started, came over to Apple. He's chatting with us, and I pulled it out. Oh, did you hear about the Zaltair? And I kind of led him through each of the letters of the quote, P-R-O-C-C, and everybody was joining in. And Jobs actually said, why, at the very end of processor technology. And it all started because when Gordon walked in the door, he said he knew who did it. It had to be Gary Ingram, I think was his name, or something, of Processor Technology, because he has a strange sense of humor. And I could hardly conceal my chuckles, you know, wondering how he'd already pinned a guy in Processor Technology who I had tried to frame and nobody had spotted. But it was kind of funny when Steve Jobs got so excited thinking the thing was real. Randy Wigginton and I had to make an excuse and go out to a restaurant for a while to hide our laughter. Well, eventually, you know, throughout time, Apple was successful, and, you know, I had other things I wanted to do in life. I told my dad in sixth grade I wanted to be a teacher, and I decided I was going to start trying to teach computers. How do you know if you can teach? What is teaching like? You know, it's blind. I'll go in blind. And taught one student first, then two, then six, and then 22, and it just grew and grew. And loved teaching those young kids. The fun they had learning new things every day and exploring. And the biggest day of all in their life was the day they got to be a server. And they learned how to toggle all the things in the Macintosh, and it made their Macs a server. And then they could access everybody else around the classroom and send files and stuff like that. And I always told them, if somebody doesn't protect the right areas of their disk and you get onto it, you can do anything to it you want to mess them up as long as you can restore it to what it was. Every year for 8 years, that was the rule in my class. If you do something to somebody else's computer, you can get it back to what it was. And they'd come up with the funny pranks that makes the fonts black and the menus black and the screen black and everything black. So somebody turned on a computer and they couldn't see one darn thing. But they could laugh and get it back to what it was. Or hide folders and things. I looked up once in the class, this girl, Sandy Runyon, says, Steve, my control panel's just disappeared. And, you know, and I'm, what? What's going on? You know, you sure? And she said, hey, another folder just disappeared. And I looked over, and there's little Daniel Leist hunched at his keyboard. It's kind of smiling. He just hit them. They were fixable. I got to do... I actually did one like that I'm just about to discuss. But it was so much fun. It was more important to me in the class that everything you did with computers had a fun element, an attraction, or something, especially imagination and how it worked. And the kids sometimes even found things in programs. They'd say, I got a little arrow to move in ClarisWorks, Steve. I said, ClarisWorks can't do that. I did it. Sure enough, this kid had a bunch of little white boxes, one over the other, that made this arrow seem to move. So I learned things from those kids all the time. What fun could you have? As when it comes to things like passwords, I did very little real hacking in my life, a few attempts, but I was always so independent I didn't have other people giving me clues as to where to go, and I never...
Boy, I really hate to speak over Steve yet again, but we're out of time. We're just about out of time. You can hear the whole rest of this. You can see the whole rest of this. It's an incredible talk. Taking place back in 2004, Steve Wozniak addressing a bunch of hackers at the Fifth Hope. You'll get that plus 17 other similar type talks with luminaries of all sorts over the years. Keynote speakers, featured speakers here at Hackers on Planet Earth conferences. But please give us a call, 631-632-9872. Pledge of $75, you'll get all 18 talks, over 20 DVDs, and it'll be a lot of fun. But most importantly, you're supporting the radio station. Pledge of $75 gets you that, plus the hacker calendar, autographed hacker calendar, that will keep you educated all of next year with everything that happened on every single day of the year involving technology and hackers and things like that, plus amazing photographs taken half by Kyle, half by Dave. Thanks very much for all the effort that you put into that, Kyle.
Yeah, I really hope people enjoy this.
631-632-9872. And then for a pledge of $125, you get all of that, all of that. You get the hacker calendar, you get the talks, and you get over 20 years of Off the Hook, the other radio show that that we're involved in on the other radio station. You'll get over 40 DVDs for a pledge of $125. You know, we're almost doing as well as we do on the other radio station, which I think is it shows that this place is growing, that we can get there. And that hopefully we'll be ready for that move in a couple of years. Improved facilities, bigger studio, better sound, that kind of thing. But we need to get there with your help, with our listeners' help. We need to make a statement here that community radio, college radio, it's relevant. It's more relevant than it's ever been. We're giving voice to the various people that are involved in Occupy Wall Street and all sorts of other movements going on throughout the world. Democracy Now! Airs every weekday here on WUSB, the only radio station in Long Island that carries that program. All kinds of things you can learn just by keeping your dial set or your internet connection set to WUSB. We're on the internet, WUSB.fm. We're on the FM dial, 90.1 FM. And we're asking for your support this autumn to keep us going. 631-632-9872. We got to move out of here. But we'd sure like to see those phones light up as we head towards the door. Again, 631-632-9872. We had a couple of calls during the break, or during the programming. This is the break. But I hope to see the calls light up so that we have a chance of hitting 1,000 for an hour. That would be awesome. And I think it would really give people a good boost here. 631-632-9872. Any last words, Carl?
No. I would just I'd really like to get that call to come in so that so I can run out and take your pledge. So yes. Give us a call right now.
Yes, and maybe I'll take the pledge too. It's entirely possible. 631-632-9872. Please make those phones ring. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Finn. Have a good night.
Shulinu, 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 shul